but I said the title was.
Okay. I want to deal with this concept that the word is evil. I want you to first turn over to Proverbs chapter 4. I have utilized this scripture for the last three or four Wednesday nights. I don't know how many more times I'm going to address it, but I'm going to address it until I'm comfortable with you knowing that every time you pick up your Bible to read, when you do that, I want to have what I'm about to tell you now to automatically kick in your mind as to what you're doing right then. We're going to look at the word on God's ability, and I know I'm not getting through this outline, so I'm just going to do these things. But in Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 20 through 22. For those that have been here on Wednesdays, you're real familiar with it. But in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, my son, do what? Attend to, or give attention, either way, to my words. Then he says, incline your ears. I'm not even going to turn around and see what translation we're using. Incline your ears to what? God's sayings. Now watch what happens. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart. Why? Because they are, verse 22, they are, not going to be, not might be, they are life. Does it start with life? They are life. Now watch this. Unto those who find them. This requires involvement. This requires looking. This requires searching. I've got to find it. If I want the life of the word flowing through me, I've got to find the word. Watch what he said. They are life unto those who find them and health to their flesh. I'm not going to deal with this morning, but to tell you that the word health, we've been dealing with it for the last four Wednesday nights, actually translates into English medication or medicine. God says, my word that is found will produce life and serve as a medicine, notice to what? For all your flesh. Now, here's what I want to get, and I've said it many times, I'm going to keep. You got to pay attention to what he says. He says, attend to my word. What does that mean? How many say it means to read the Bible on a regular basis? I'm paying attention to it. What do the rest of you say? Understanding. All right, well, then what would this be? Incline your ears to my sayings. Now what's he talking about? Huh? Reading it? Oh, our pastor got stumped in his own mind. Not by me, in his own mind. It'll come to you, brother. You can bring it to me later. Here's how it works. The word of God has two facets to it. The inner and the outer. There's the inner essence of God's word. There's the outer essence of God's word. Now, here's how this works. He said, my son, attend to my word. That deals with the outer essence. What it is what's written. I'm paying attention to what is written. I'm reading what is written. Most of us do this regularly. We read his word. We know his word as it is written. Now, let me say that again. We know the word as it's written But we might not know the word as to what it means. And just because we know what's written doesn't mean we know what it means. And so God comes and says, I want you to pay attention to the outer essence of my word. I want you to read it. I want you to be familiar with it. But then he said, incline your ears to my sayings. That deals with the inner essence of God's word. Here's what happens. I'm choosing today to study God's word. I'm not going to attend to it. I'm going to get into it. I'm going to get into the inner workings of God's word until I know its meaning, its reason, its purpose. Okay, God said this. What's it mean? God said this. What's its purpose? Why did God say this? What does this mean to me? And all of us, in going into the inner essence of God's word, would be at different places, different levels, but all of us can do it. If you have internet savvy, there's no excuse for you not to be able to find out what God's word meant 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. You have access to the material. I don't like using internet for studies. I like having the stuff in my hands, and that's my choice. I like going through the dictionaries, the lexicons, the encyclopedias, whatever I own and whatever I have. I like going through the book. I like marking them. I like writing in them. But that doesn't mean everybody has to do it my way. You'll never get there. Now, here's what I want to try to get this into you, that every time you open your Bible, you're going to look at it and you're going to have to decide, so what will I do today? Am I just going to read a little bit? Or am I going to get into what God's word says? And I'll tell you how Pastor T does it. I have general readings. Well, I just read. I just read the Bible. And then my personal, I'm just talking personal life here. You got nothing to do with nothing. Then when it comes to getting into the inner essence, I do that with topics that are associated with my life right now, something I'm going through right now, something I'm experiencing right now. And I need to know what God says about what I'm going through right now. I need to know what God meant when he said this. Because this is what I'm going through, I need to know what God meant when he said it. I will never do that just by reading the Bible. So watch it. Attend to my word. Incline your ear to my saying. Keep them in your heart. And the benefit is life and health to all your flesh. Now, I'm going to throw a new one out that even Wednesday night hasn't had, because this one I just received 2 days ago. I have always looked at all your flesh there as my body. Makes sense. Until I found out that all my flesh involves my children. They're part of my flesh. My grandchildren, they're part of my flesh. All my flesh. Now, think on it this way. Let this be your motivator, nothing else. Your children's lives and your grandbabies' lives and your great-grandbabies' lives may be dependent on you and what you're doing with the Word of God. And you'll never once repent. You will never repent one time for the hours you find yourself spending in God's Word. Particularly when you get the answer. I'm convinced. Lord, let me say this and then move. We have to realize nothing happens without the Word. I'm a Pentecostal minister. I speak in tongues daily. I minister to the Lord in such, as well as with my spiritual language and my known language. But if there's no word, it's nothing. It's got to be based on the word. And so I've got to study the word. For instance, what can the word do? I'm going to use that time to take a drink while you think that one through. Anyway, what can the word do? Huh? The word can do the impossible. The word can heal. Huh? I'm hearing something, but I don't know what it is. Deliver. As I read Scripture, I come to the conclusion the word can do anything. The word can do everything but fail. And I'm having serious trouble today with where the church is headed and where it's going. But let's look at some things concerning, you know, slide over to Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to do this out of order. Not that I'm going to be out of order, the outline's going to be out of order. But just real fast, Matthew chapter 8, first four verses. Has everybody got it? I have to go on. Speaking of the Lord, it says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord, if you'll do it. And immediately, verse 3, and Yeshua put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see that you tell nobody about this, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for him a testimony. Did I say testimony? Offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Because I know I'm going to spend more time in the next one, I want to just sidetrack something right to this. You read this chapter. There's three things the Lord's going to do in here. Through the word, he's going to heal sickness. Through the word, he's going to dismiss demons. And through the word, he's going to give you the ability to reverse or get rid of distractions in your life. Just read the chapter. But I want to point out something here in this opening portion with the leper, because I think it's important. And there's just one thing I want to comment here. The man says, I know you can do it if you will. Let me tell you this. Constantly questioning God's will in prayer will do absolutely nothing but be one of the greatest hindrances you ever experience to why your prayer is not being answered. If you are constantly questioning, is this your will? Is that your will? You're never, ever going to get through experiencing his will because you're going to be questioning it the whole time. And something I noticed in the church is this. Every believer I've ever met believes that God can do all things. I've never met a believer that doesn't believe that. Not one. But there's only a few believers, when you think of the size of the church, there's only a few believers who believe he will. Nobody questions, can he? The question is, will he? And we need to realize it's always God's will for people to be healed and delivered by his power. Now, I know there is a great move in the church today against this stuff of healing. And I know it's not coming from unbelievers. It's not coming from atheists. The stress and the struggle is coming from educated, in most cases, highly educated ministers of the gospel who are arguing this point. God doesn't heal any longer. It's not God's will that people be healed today. Here's my question. If it's not God's will to heal, why did he spend so much time writing in the Bible to tell us how to receive healing? Or, even better, or worse, if God's not doing this today, for whatever reason they explain it, then does that mean that I should 100% completely ignore his word on this issue? And if I ignore his word here, well, what comes next? I already know what came next because it just came. And it's on the issue of tithing. And all of a sudden, all these highly educated big church pastors don't believe in tithing in the New Testament. My wife said, honey, how do you feel about this? I said, first off, I don't tithe because it was in the law of Moses. I don't tithe because it was or was not recorded in the Gospels. I don't tithe because it is or is not mentioned in the New Testament. I tithe because I'm a child of Abraham. And Abraham tithed. God didn't tell him, but obviously God blessed him. So much so that his sons tithed after him. That's why I tithe. Not to get something from the Lord. Abraham didn't tithe to get something. I tithe because he's given me something. And these arguments, again, they're coming from within the ranks of the so-called church. So if God's not doing it, why do we spend any time in it talking about it? But not only the word, and it was the word that delivered this leper. And again, I'm not going to get into it all. But not only the word deals with disease, and we'll see a little bit more of that in a moment. But he dealt with demons. But now here's the thing, watch this. Go to verse 16. And why? Well, go to 14. I'll do this real, no, 15. Verse 16, that's what I said the first time, leave it there. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that was sick. Now, when that leper came to him and said, if you will, you can make me cleanse, what did Christ do? Follow his steps. What did he do? It's right there written down. He reached out and touched him. Get this. He touched the leper. Whether the man had wet leprosy or dry leprosy, I do not know. Whether Christ knew it or not, I do not know. But I do know one thing. According to the law of Moses, it was against the law to touch a leper. But an interesting thought that came to me years ago after I got beat up by enough of them. He touched the lepers, but not the demons. I don't know one demon-possessed person he laid his hands on. I remember we used to tackle them and sit on them. 10-15 people holding down one. I remember that. I was used heavily in the ministry of that. And I would to God I would have learned this about Christ way earlier, because I got beat up a lot. Them things are strong. I've been thrown around churches. I've been kicked in the church. Thank you. I've been beat up. Almost got stabbed by one. Christ never touched them. Touched the lepers, but he didn't touch the demons. And demons are more active today than we realize. And we need to get busy getting against these demons. Because let me say this. When you recognize demons are working, you've got to take the word. You've got to know the word on this. Take the word, speak the word until the demon forces break. And they will break. Now, I want to just show you one last thing in this, and that's versus the disease, beginning at verse 1. There's a whole lot that goes here in on this. But before I do it, I want to share the meaning behind two words with you. Even though these words do not appear in Matthew chapter 8, the principles are there, and we need to know them. And if you went to start inclining your ear to the Word of God on this, you would learn this. You find, if you took these two words and just studied them like that, the first word is power. Now, out of the six nouns, and that's just the nouns, there's 8, 9 different words for power, but out of the six nouns translated power in Scripture, I'm going to use just a word or two from each one of them as to what the word power can mean when we talk about power. Here's the meaning. The word power can be defined as force, might, absolute authority. Power can be defined as the right or freedom to act. The word power can be defined as having dominion over, or the ability to do. But my favorite definition of them all for the word power is simply this. The word power defined as a beginning rule, R-U-L-E, or the beginning rule. Now, question. Think about it. What in the Bible, what was the beginning rule or authority in Scripture? Huh? All right, Yahweh, God the Father. Right there. The Word. The Word is the beginning rule. The Word is the beginning authority. So if I bring the Word to the situation, then that situation obviously can't be the beginning authority. And if I bring the Word to that situation has to do what the Word says it has to do. But that word has to be in me. I have to understand it. Know something about what does this mean. Know something about what was the reason that the Lord did this then. What was the purpose? I mean, I'm not going to go into it, but why did he touch that leper? I know the purpose, I'm not telling it to you. But why did he do it? But the word power, beginning authority. Second word I want to give you very quickly is the word deliver. Now, the word deliver has 11 verbs itself in the New Testament that are used. So again, I'm just going to touch on some of the words and what they mean. But the word deliver can mean to change from one thing to another. God delivered me from one mindset to another mindset. God delivered me from being a a full-time thief and robber to being a full-time minister of the gospel. He delivered me from one to the other. The word deliver can be meaning to make or set free. That's the meaning in John chapter 8, 32 and 36, where Christ said, if you continue my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I've said this enough for the church here, but for the church listening from home. What Christ said there was, not if you know what the Bible says, you'll be free. He said, if you know what the truth says, you'll be free. I got to stay in the truth, to know the truth, to understand the truth, because it is known truth that sets me free, not just truth. If just truth set us free, we need no deliverance. Word deliverance can also mean to liberate from, to release someone. I like this one a lot. To rescue someone from danger or bondage. It means to pluck out of, to seize something, to snatch something, to take something out of something. When you get down to the bottom line, it's this. God's word is the unrestricted, manifested power of Yahweh himself. And it will work when it's in us and we work it. You don't have to be a highly educated individual. You don't have to know how to speak Greek and Hebrew. I can't speak neither one of them languages. I am learning, because I've looked at it so much, I am learning that I have noticed in the Greek or in Hebrew, I notice sometimes certain words because I've looked at the alphabet so many times, I know what they are. But I can't tell you how to pronounce the word. But God's word says that it will deliver us from distraction. Let me ask you, how many of you have had times when you go to pray, you haven't done nothing all day long? I'm not saying nothing bad, but just you haven't been involved in nothing heavy all day long. You sit down to pray, and as you start to pray, your mind gets flooded with things you got to do, things you got to remember. And if you're reading your Bible while you're praying, sometimes that's even worse because you're reading your Bible and you got one of these little referred to another scripture, and all of a sudden you're going over to another scripture, and that says go to another scripture, you go to another scripture. By the time you're done, you realize I've sat here for an hour and I ain't said one prayer. That's a distraction. Whenever I go to pray, I put it, and I leave each out here for him. I have a piece of paper. I got something with me. If a thought comes to me, I write it down. Because nothing's more important than me praying this word and getting it into me. Because that's what it's going to take to make things work. And God's word delivers us from distractions. God's word delivers us from demons. It delivers us from disease. In this passage alone, there's three people. There's a servant of the centurion. There's the mother-in-law of Peter. And there's that leper we talked about. But look at this for a second. Huh. Here's the situation. There's a servant at home. There's a commander in Rome's army in front of Christ. And he says, my servant is paralyzed. Because that's exactly what it says he was. Paralyzed. Now, as I understand things, The mind plays a major part in what the body does. So if my hand is paralyzed, then that means there's been a disconnect between my mind and the muscles and the tissues and the tendons in my hand. Because my hand can only respond to what my mind tells it to do. We don't do any movement at all without it first going through our mind. And I've said this a long time ago, and Suzanne got it for me once. I can't remember the numbers. But the human mind is stronger than the absolute strongest computer ever built on this earth. The human mind is more powerful. So now watch. If I'm dealing with paralysis, I've got to go not just looking at what's not moving, but I got to use my mind in this. I've got to get in my head, why is it not moving? Why am I paralyzed? Why am I not moving? This guy's servant was not moving. And Christ said, I'll come with you. No, don't need to. Say the word only, and my servant will move. Christ says, what great faith. Well, actually, the word says that Christ marveled when he said that. Do you know Christ marveled two times? As recorded in the Gospels, there's two times he marveled. Does anybody know when they are? I just gave you one. Yeah, it's one. Sometimes if you just read the next line, but the other one's not coming up. He marveled at the faith of this Gentile, and he marveled at the unbelief of his own people in his hometown in Mark chapter 6. Right. He marveled at this man's faith. He marveled at their unbelief. So here's the question. Because nothing's going to happen until we get past this question. Which camp are you in? Are you in the camp that Christ is going to look and say, ah, this is some amazing faith going on here? Or are you in a camp that he's going to say, this is some amazing unbelief going on in here? Because it matters. I don't care what the medical field tells us. I don't care what our bodies tell us. I don't care what devils tell us. I don't care what anybody else tells us. If God's word says something different, I'm opting to take the word. And I believe, glory God, I've got to stop. I believe... that in the upcoming months, I believe, as we respond to word, I believe I believe there's going to be movement where there's been no movement. I believe there's going to be activity where there was no activity. I believe something's going to start moving and changing and shaking and baking. Where there's been no activity at all. Somebody needs to get ready for mobility that hasn't been moving. Somebody needs to get ready for restoration. Get ready for God to bring the strength that he's got and to change everything about what you're dealing with. Whether it's a mental paralysis you can't break through or a physical paralysis. God's, I'm telling you, this is all I can hear God saying. Get ready for some movement. Actually, you at home, those here. If you're suffering in this area, paralysis, and here or home, I want you to lay your hands on that part of your body that's not working. Lay it upon your head to put in your brain and speak the word of God until it responds. Because it's going to respond. I want to tell you something. Look, 35 minutes for all your personal attention. I'm finished, but I got to tell you this. When I was in the military, they made me a lifeguard. I had to go through the training. I went through all the training, the education, all the stuff you had to do. One weekend, I was off, and we was at this little swimming hole that we had, a real big place, actually, big swimming hole that we had, and we was all swimming and having a good time, I mean, hundreds of us. And I had just swam. We just had a race to the end and back of the lake, a little over half a mile. And so we had a race. And so I had just finished this race. And I was sitting on the rock that we sit on for the finish line. And I was plumb worn out. I was tired. I mean, I could swim the half mile easy, but not at top speed. And all of a sudden behind me, somebody was screaming. And I turned around, because I was only about from here to there, from the shoreline, I guess, or maybe a little bit wider than that. And all these people were yelling, "Help, help, he can't swim." And I said, "Who?" "He's sinking right there." So I kind of swam over to an area, and I said, "Here?" "Yes, yeah, straight down. He can't swim." So I thought, well, who can't swim? So I just went down. And it was dark, murky, so you couldn't see underneath. But as I went down, it must have been 25, 30 feet. And I grabbed his shoulders. I felt his shoulders. I grabbed his shoulders, and I pulled him up. And I was exhausted. I was so thankful he didn't kick and scream. You know how they do it in practice. They try to pull you under. He stayed rolled up in a ball, trusting me. And I brought him up, and I told him, "Lay your body out. Let it rest on me. Lay your body out." Now, we only had to go from, you know, here to about the middle of the church to be on dry ground. So I got him to her. He sat there. I said, "Are you okay?" "Yes, sir." I said, "Okay." Couldn't figure out what happened. What was this clown doing? So I started walking from the seashore, and I was going to walk back out to the rock. And the water was up to my knee for most of the trip. But all of a sudden, it dropped to about 30-foot depth. And that's what he did. He was walking in the water. He didn't know it was going to drop. I said that to tell you this. Some of you, you take one more step, you're going to drop. And the Lord's going to be there to grab you. And he's going to bring you up. He's going to fully restore you. I tell you, I have never felt so strong as I feel about people being delivered and healed right now. I've never felt this strong about it. And he's going to take every one of us that will attend to his word, incline our ears to his saying, believe him against all the riffraff. Take his word and speak it to ourselves or our families or whatever until the word takes hold and works. It's going to happen. Paralysis is going to be ended. And there's going to be people moving where they haven't moved in the past. Amen? Rise up this morning and give the Lord some praise. Just some quick praise. Is that all we got? I heard a half of a hallelujah. Just a holler. I heard a holler. Ha, 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 ha. It's a few syllables. Hallelujah. Not ha. Now, if you want to hear it that way, it's praise. That's a one-syllable word. Praise. You stand here, you might say, Pastor, I don't deal with none of the stuff you said this morning. You know, I want to tell you something. That's more frightening to me than people to tell me I'm in this case, but I don't know how to get out of it. Because the truth of the matter is, right now, you are involved in this stuff. Right now, there are demonic forces trying to work you. There are distractions trying to stop you. They're there. As far as the paralysis and physical healings and things, that might be different, but I know that there's activity. Sizable activity. But I also know there's a God. And I don't care what any of the others want to say. I'm going to say my God heals till the day I die. Amen. 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 They are y'all the one. Just stay away from me. But we do have some people that need movement and ability. They need restoration and strength. So let's pray for them. Father, right now, Lord, I just pray that your word will take quick root to those that are present and to those that are watching from home, that your word will take quick root, Lord, so that it can grow within them. And that their confidence will once again be restored. And they will once again return to where they realize and acknowledge and accept the fact not only that it can be done, but that he will do it. And he'll do it for all of us. Because, Father, unlike my grandchildren, there is no favorite with you. We all have the same value. We all mean just as much as the other. For we've all been bought by your son's blood. So I pray, Lord, that you will help us to begin to seriously attend to your word, incline to your word, apply your word, and live out your word as it would be pleasing and acceptable unto you. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Christ's name. And I pray that the grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ would rest upon each of us as we depart the sanctuary, but never your presence. Bring us back at the next appointed time in Christ's name. Amen. Bear in mind, if you stay in the Word, it'll keep you from evil. And Wednesday night, see you.